Welcome in to another great edition of Strong Style, Impact Media's weekly venture into combat sports, more specifically MMA and pro wrestling. I'm your host, Jeremy, the Impact York. If you want to do us a favor, since you're already doing us a big favor by listening to the show, if you want to go give us a rating, review, anywhere you get this podcast, if you want to follow the show, pretty much any of the social medias, The Impact 99 will find me or the show. Team Impact Media will find all the direct links, I believe, as well on Twitter. Hey, you can find me all over the place. You can find all the show content all over the place, including Triller and TikTok. We're going to be doing some more exclusive content later on this weekend because, well, Georgia State has a home game. And I'm going to line up some other stuff, too, where it's not just stadium stuff. So hopefully you guys enjoy that. But tonight is all about fighting. Monday night is all about fighting. We're going to talk some pro wrestling, of course. We're going to talk some UFC and Bellator at the end. There are two big wrestling pay-per-views coming up this weekend, and we are going to get to those very, very shortly. But first, well, we have to get you there. And how we do that? Well, we're going to start with WWE because they have one of the bigger pay-per-views, and it's at a weird time. But there's a reason why it's at a weird time, and we'll get to that in a minute. But first, let's talk a little bit about Raw and SmackDown, then we'll talk pay-per-view. We'll come back around for NXT, because NXT doesn't really factor into this currently. But Raw, of course, they're building up to Crown Jewel, which is the pay-per-view I've for some reason yet to mention. We know about some of the bigger things. We'll get to the stuff that has to do with the pay-per-view a little. We'll kind of hit on it a little bit. We'll talk more about it when we talk pay-per-view. They had a few King of the Ring matches. They're trying to, you know, crown a King of the Ring. I believe they're going to do that at Crown Jewel, which is a good place to do that. They also have the Queen's Crown Tournament, which is the women's, kind of the Queen of the Ring, without calling it Queen of the Ring. I'm glad they decided against that. One of the opening matches they had was Ricochet versus Xavier Woods. Most people would say, why is Ricochet in a match with Xavier Woods? Well, apparently you've never seen Xavier Woods in a solo match. Dude can wrestle his rear off. Him and Ricochet actually had one of the better matches of Monday Night Raw for sure. Xavier Woods goes over in this one. Congratulations to him on that, because if he wins his match and Kofi won his match later on versus Jinder Mahal, well, those two would face in the semifinals. How crazy would that be? Next big thing that happened on Raw, Mansoor and Mustafa Ali teamed against the Hurt Business. It's good to have the return of the Hurt Business. they pretty much wiped the floor with Mansoor and Ali, which of course led to Ali finally splitting from Mansoor. I mentioned it a little bit last week. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me, as I guess they just stuck him in a team because they needed a team. Well, now they have more teams, so they obviously split them again. Maybe Ali will go lead another group, and Mansoor can start going. Maybe find one of the smaller titles to go for at the moment, because I think he'd be a good person if you could build him up. He could do some good stuff. Maybe was the 405 Live or whatever. Maybe a good spot for him. Once again, good to see the Hurt Business back. Cedric and Shelton Benjamin, of course, and Cedric Alexander, they're really good. And you put them together, they're really good. So good to see them back together. That's another quality team on Raw. I mean, they kind of replaced Mansoor and Ali that really didn't have a lot going for them anyway. Shayna Baszler took on Dana Brooke in a Queen's Crown match. Dana did a pretty good job. But ultimately, the Queen of Spades wins the Queen's Crown quarterfinal match. She will move on to the semifinals. At one time, we had a picture of these, or some way to pull them up or something, maybe. Here we go. Yeah, there we go. Okay. Yeah. Shayna over Dana Brooke. The winner of that will take on, or since Shayna won, Shayna is waiting on the winner of Doudrop and Natalya, which we will see. Was that on Raw? Yes, that was on Raw. Okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. With the men's King of the Ring tournament, yeah, so far, Xavier Woods over Ricochet. We will talk about more of that in a minute. Riddle took on Omos, I think because Randy wasn't there. Omos, it wasn't close. Jeff Hardy took on Austin Theory. You know, they kind of did the fanboy turn on your hero thing last week. And Theory got the win in this one, too. It was a roll-up, I believe, but Austin Theory in his second skit, his second booking back in on Raw, because during the pandemic, he was a great fill-in that really helped him out in some of the groups and things they did. But anyway, Theory gets the win in that one. Hardy may be the new gatekeeper, where when you're coming up from NXT, when you need to face somebody to help establish yourself, I'll give it to Jeff Hardy. Not being the world's biggest Jeff Hardy fan, but Jeff Hardy is solid and helps build other people. So he has his place. In the next qualifying match, I told you if Kofi Kingston beat Jinder Mahal, then he got to face his buddy Xavier Woods in the next round. Nope, not going to see it this time. Jinder Mahal had a pretty good win there. They're an interesting matchup because Kofi can pretty much wrestle with anybody with his style. It's very unorthodox, controlled chaos, and then Jinder is a big bruiser who can actually move. So this is a pretty quality match. Jinder moves on, so in the semifinals, it'll be Jinder versus Xavier Woods. My guess, they're going to make somebody wrestle, yeah, or at least two people wrestle twice on Crown Jewel. We had a match, Sasha and Bianca Belair versus Charlotte and Becky Lynch. It become pretty much a regular normal fracas. All it's doing is just really building up the main events, the women's main events for Crown Jewel. one would get the better of the others, and then they would flip around. They just all took turns being the aggressor. That's all it did. In another Queens qualifier match, is the one I told you about, Doudrop took on Natalya. And, well, as I said, ever since, even when Natalya was a part of the tag team champion, she still jobbed out to everybody, and, well, Doudrop beat her in this one. It's a good match. Doudrop is really good, and Natalya is fantastic as well, so you put the two of them together, it was a really solid match. But Doudrop, who kind of had a small run-in with Shayna, well, she'll see her in the semifinals. And then something that stirred up from the opening segment, we had Drew McIntyre and Big E, who took on the Usos. Well, Big E and Drew couldn't get on the same page by the end of it, so the Usos actually end up with a pretty good little resume builder there. That led us to SmackDown. Edge come out, talked about the things he was going to do to Seth Rollins. He's just building up the match. We know that. Did he say anything we haven't heard before? No. Did he say anything? Groundbreaking? No. He just come out and said his normal thing. I'm going to scar his soul, or I'm going to, you know, it's hell in a cell. They're going to tear each other apart. And then they're going to be on different shows. But it's going to be a good match. This is finally the blow-off match for this feud that has been pretty good. It could have been better. I think they're being careful not to really get after each of them. But it's going to be good. King of the Ring, this was actually a semifinal match as Sami Zayn took on Finn Balor for the right to go to the finals. So I guess a couple of them are actually going to be into the finals by the time we see them. King of the Ring semifinal, Finn Balor, of course, beat Sami Zayn. I say of course, but they're actually both really good and really accomplished. Zayn is by far underrated, and Balor doesn't get talked about enough either. This was a really, really solid match that, whether it was a WWE or Impact Wrestling or AEW, or if it took place in your backyard, still really good. These two know how to really do it. Once again, Balor with the win there. Then there was Shayna and Sonya Deville took on Naomi in a handicap match. Well, Shayna pretty much ran over Naomi every time she tried to do anything. The Naomi versus Sonya thing is interesting. I wonder if they're trying to do the Stone Cold Vince thing, but they're trying to do it with the women. And these are two, and if you throw in Savannah as the, Shayna as the enforcer, well, these are three people that you could definitely do this storyline with. I look forward to what they're going to do with it going forward. Naomi versus Sonya, the person in power. But Sonya gets the win over Naomi in this one. Then we get Seth Rollins, who come out and kind of counter-argued Edge. He had a pretty cool little suit going on. Looked like it was the a bunch of playing cards and suits and actual playing card suits. It's pretty cool looking. Wouldn't mind having it myself, actually. Then we get a, let's see, was this the other semi? No, this is a semifinal for the women as Carmella took on Zelina Vega. A lot of people would say, well, Carmella is definitely the bigger person. She has a better chance of winning and doing these things, so she'd probably win this. Except she didn't. Zelina Vega with the great upset victory. It was actually pretty good. You actually had two heels against each other, which is kind of interesting. But this is a good match. And so, moving on to the finals, is Zelina Vega. Congratulations. Liv Morgan had a little bit to do with it at the end. I think Carmella and Liv are going to have something going forward. That's going to be fun because they're both really good. They're both kind of up and coming. I think can use each other to build and grow into bigger superstars. Corbin and Moss got interrupted on their show by Rick Boogs and Shinsuke Nakamura. That's going to lead to the four of them in some sort of Donnybrook there or something. The Street Profits went for the tag championships versus the Usos. Well, all you have to know is that the Street Profits are going to Raw and the Usos are staying on SmackDown to know. The Usos, there were weapons involved in this. Apparently you could do that. And the Usos just wore out the Street Profits with all the weapons and everything and then beat them. It looked a lot like a video game when you play against that one friend that knows like one or two moves, and then he knows to pick up a chair, just keep swinging until it disappears, and he grabs another one, and before you know it, you lost. That was pretty much how this match looked. It looked like a video game against that friend. Shout out to all the friends out there that, you know, maybe you don't have video game systems, maybe you don't play them a lot, so when you go to your friends' houses, they usually drag you into playing them. I used to be that friend, drag you into playing, and you don't know the controls, so when you learn a couple and they work, you keep using them. Shout out to you guys and gals. Becky Lynch took on Sasha Banks with Bianca Belair at ringside. She tried to interfere to cause one of them the match, and she pretty much caused it to where Becky lost to Sasha. So once again, they have somebody else going over the champ there. The triple threat match that they're going to have at Crown Jewel, it could be interesting because they keep showing power and keep showing other people over the champ. We'll see where that goes. We'll talk about that here in just a few short minutes. And then we had the Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar contract signing. No physicality, lots of verbiage, and some fun stuff. Having Paul Heyman in the middle, this is pretty good stuff. So just to recap there, we know that Finn Balor is in the finals. I've yet to see Jinder versus Xavier Woods. I guess that could be tonight because Crown Jewel is coming up. You know, that's what they're probably doing. That's the back end of those. And then Zelina Vega in the final against either Doudrop or Shayna Baszler. I think I have, not really spoiler alert, but I think I have pretty good prediction there. Let's talk about Crown Jewel. Let's start All right, here we go. I'm going to go through all the matches, tell you how I think they're going to play out, and who I think is going to win. Apparently, we have Mansoor versus Mustafa Ali. Former partners just recently split with Mustafa getting the better of Mansoor. If this were anybody but WWE, I would say Mustafa Ali is going to win and it's going to propel him in the direction of into something bigger and better. Since this is WWE, I'm going to tell you that Mansoor is going to win. It's going to leave them both in limbo, both where it makes better sense to put them back together. And that a lot of this was a waste of time. But keep this in mind. This Crown Jewel is taking place this Thursday at noon. Why in the world would WWE do a pay-per-view in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day? Easy. Because it's not happening in this country. This is kind of a UFC thing. Except UFC usually does Saturdays. But keep this in mind. This is in Saudi Arabia. This is a big deal. Especially to have women featured. To have a lot of their Arabic audience and on-screen talent. They want to feature them, as they should. So I think that's why there's a couple spoilers. Not really spoilers, but there's a couple easy slam dunks as far as this goes. But I'm still going to go contrarian. I know I said WWE will probably have Mansoor win here. I'm going to say Mustafa Ali somehow figures out how to win this one. Of course, we're going to have the King of the Ring finals, and we're going to have the Queen's Crown finals. I say right now, who do I think is going to win the Queen's Crown? I think it's going to be Shayna Baszler. The Queen of Spades, it has been moved away from Charlotte. So the Queen of Spades is going to be your King of the Ring winner. She's going to beat Doudrop in this. She's going to beat Zelina Vega. Those are going to be really good matches, but yeah. Give me Shayna Baszler to win the whole thing. It gives her the boost she needs to kind of rule over SmackDown the way Charlotte did as Queen Charlotte. King of the Ring finals, I'll tell you right now, somewhere tonight on Raw, Jinder Mahal is going to take on Xavier Woods, and Jinder Mahal is going to win. And Jinder Mahal is going to take on Finn Balor, and it brings up a really interesting thing because Finn Balor has went by the Prince. He's went by Prince Nani or something before, and he's always, you know, the Crown Prince, and they call him Prince-related things a lot. But Jinder Mahal makes a lot better sense if he wins the King of the Ring tournament in Saudi Arabia. So I'm going Jinder Mahal. Plus, Jinder could use this as a boost. Oh, this earlier today. I'm glad I remembered it. This is the boost that will boost Jinder Mahal back up towards the main event level. Jinder Mahal's a main eventer. He's a former heavyweight champ. He had solid, really good defining matches with people like Randy Orton, people like John Cena. He can go with the big dogs. I think him and Roman had some good ones. So I got Jinder. You're going to have King Jinder Mahal, and you're going to have the Queen of Spades, Queen Shayna Baszler. I think that's how those are going to go. We're going to get the Raw Tag Team Championship, RK-Bro versus AJ and Omos. I think RK-Bro is going to retain. I think AJ and Omos are going to go off and do something different. And RK-Bro will lose to somebody else, probably the Street Profits or somebody like that. It just showed up on Raw. Or, hey, the Hurt Business. The Hurt Business, RK-Bro, sign me up. I don't see it another way. I'm tired of seeing these four people in the ring, even though they're all really good. Because Omos, we didn't expect much from him, right? And then all of a sudden, he can actually do some stuff in the ring. He's not a bad talker. He's a good sidekick for AJ. Moves us to Rollins versus Edge in the Hell in a Cell. What makes the most sense since Seth is going to a different show? And he doesn't need the momentum right now. It makes the most sense that Edge gets the retribution for all the things Seth has done to him, the things he said, being in his house, all of those fun things like that. So I got Edge winning Hell in a Cell. Rollins moves to Raw. He'll build up his own momentum and eventually be back in the main event in no time. Got Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg in a no disqualification. This just helps Goldberg. Bobby is a great in-ring performer, former heavyweight champ. If not for Big E, then I think he'd still be champ. So, but this helps Goldberg because Goldberg's conditioning is good. It's not where it once was. So being able to use weapons and things like that can kind of stagger the match out a little bit and make it mean a little more. In the end, Goldberg's going to win. Retribution for Lashley going after his son. Unless they just want to boost Bobby back up into the top. But right now it looks like McIntyre is the top contender. So give me Goldberg, who could use the retribution win. And then he could go about his day again. He'll come back in 6-8 months and do something else. And Lashley will regather the Hurt Business. and go from there. In the co-main event, Big E is going to defend against Drew McIntyre. Here's the thing to mention. This was in a lot of the write-ups, and it's something to mention. Same thing I said about a lot of these. Biggest thing to know is that McIntyre is going to go from Raw to SmackDown after Crown Jewel. So, that pretty much means he's not going to win the championship. Because then the championship would have to move with the other one, and we'll get to that in a minute. We'll talk about that one. We'll talk about that one for sure. Kind of three co-main events, in my opinion. I think Big E is going to retain against McIntyre. It's going to be really good. Drew's really good at helping the other guy look really good. Big E is also pretty good at it, but it's going to be a big win for Big E as he moves on. Hey, maybe it is Lashley. Who knows? He's going to move on to somebody. But take Big E. This is the interesting. I know I say interesting a lot. This one is a head scratcher in who could win. And I say that as I'm scratching my head. SmackDown Women's Championship. Let's see. I think Lynch is staying on SmackDown. Banks is staying on SmackDown. Belair is moving to Raw. Isn't that right? Well, she's moving to Raw, and so is Becky. I'm pretty sure Becky's moving to Raw because they're keeping Becky Lynch and her husband and baby daddy, Seth Rollins, on the same show at the moment. So, we know Charlotte is going to be in SmackDown. So, unless they do a double title switch, which would just not make sense. You could just exchange belts like they did with the tag belts a couple years ago. I think Becky's going to retain. She's going to take the blue belt over to Raw. And Bianca is going to follow over there. Sasha will stay on SmackDown to go against Charlotte. So give me Becky Lynch in that one. Because Charlotte, I don't think Charlotte has a match. So she's just going to have the SmackDown, or she's going to have the red belt on SmackDown. Then the main event, Roman Reigns defends the Universal Championship against Brock Lesnar. Now, I just told you Big E is going to retain. Would it make sense for Brock to come back and win? Yeah, it would. It would also make sense for Roman to retain. But then it makes Brock's return not mean as much. Unless, and I think this is a Heyman idea, unless somehow Paul Heyman causes Roman Reigns to win or get DQ'd. If he helps Roman win and screws Brock, then that gives Brock another reason for a rematch at Survivor Series, I think is the next one, which is another big one. I could see that. That way it gives a reason for the rematch. Or, like I said, if he gets Roman DQ'd, I don't think they would go the route of having Heyman cause Brock to win the championship. I think it would be a DQ or he's helping Roman win. So I'm going to go with he helps Roman win. Give me Roman Reigns to win that one. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I will not be able to watch live, as most of you will probably not be able to either, but I look forward to getting to see that one because anytime they go outside the U.S. border, it seems to be a really good event. Let's go to Impact Wrestling. They had a couple matches, and then I'm going to talk about their pay-per-view coming up this weekend because it's actually one of my favorites, as I went to the one that was in Atlanta a couple years ago, and fantastic event. I should be on the pay-per-view a few times. El Fantasmo took on Rohit Raju and Willie Mack to determine who was going to be in the big multi or the three-way match for the X Division title coming up. And with the help of his buddies, but El Fantasmo with the big win there. Dude can wrestle. He can actually wrestle. He's pretty good. And he makes the most sense to be in this match. Savannah Evans took on Lady Frost. Savannah Evans, of course, being the Tasha Steele's henchwoman. And she gets the win over Lady Frost. It's a pretty good match. Afterwards, Deonna Purrazzo and Matthew Raywalt came out, and Deonna said, I get to pick Mickie James' opponent next week. I think it should be you, Savannah. Savannah shook hands. That's a done deal. Lady Frost, though, is very underrated. I think she's a free agent right now. I don't think she's under contract with anybody. She's freelancing. It's good for her. If Impact was smart, they would try to bring her in before somebody else takes her away. But she's a solid performer. Definitely worth watching any match she's in. Up next, VSK with Brian Myers in his corner took on Rich Swann and Willie Mack, who made appearance number 2 on the card. Rich Swann ends up with the win there. VSK, he used to be on NXT, I believe. He was one of the ones who were released. He's good. He's really good. Of all the Brian Myers people, he's definitely the of all the people in the stable, he's definitely the thoroughbred. And he had a good match with Rich Swann. They like to jump and fly and flip around, and it was a good, solid match. That led us to Chris Bay versus Chris Sabin, Battle of the Chris. Sabin ends up with the win in this one, which is interesting. I thought Bay would continue the run of the Bullet Club wins of the night. But then that led us to the Call Your Shot Battle Royal, where the last two people would determine a couple of the seeds in the actual Call Your Shot match coming up at the pay-per-view. If you were next to if you're the last one eliminated, you were number one. If you won the Battle Royal, you were last. You get to be number 20. Well, came down to Chris Sabin and W. Morrissey. And Morrissey found a way to get Sabin out of the ring. So Sabin will start the Call Your Shot multi-person match. Going to have guys and girls in it. And if you win that, you get a contract that somewhere in the next calendar year, you kind of what Carmelo Hayes did on NXT, you can cash for whatever you'd like. That leads us to the Bound for Glory card. Here are the matches. John Skyler versus Crazy Steve versus Fala Ba versus Jordan Grace versus Chelsea Green or Madison Rayne versus Alicia Edwards or Tennille Dashwood. This is for the Impact Digital Media Championship. It would be interesting if Chelsea Green won it because the person who is the only recognized internet wrestling champ that I can recall is Chelsea Green's boyfriend, Matt Cardona. So, in a weird string of events, give me Chelsea Green to win the inaugural Impact Digital Media Championship. Let's go next. We've got Decay, which is Havoc and Rosemary, are defending their tag team championships against The Inspiration, which is Cassie Lee and Jessica McKay, otherwise known as The Iconics. I do not know if they are signing or if this is a one-off. I do not know if they are signing a contract, but if they do, then Impact Wrestling should keep an eye on them because they could do some work for AEW or AAA. Can't go to New Japan. Not really a spot for female wrestlers out there yet. I think they're going to eventually do it. But this should be a really good match. And honestly, if somebody were to upset Decay for the championships, why not the Inspiration, a.k.a. the Iconics? They're a way better team. see. It would really shake things up. Heath Slater and an opponent to be named later is going to take on Violent by Design. My guess is it will probably be Diener and Joe Thoring. I don't think Eric's going to be in this one. Heath is hoping that Rhino comes out to help him. We'll see. I honestly don't know. This could go either direction. Either way, I think Violet by Design is going to win, no matter who his partner ends up being. Let's see. X Division Championship. Trey Miguel takes on Steve Macklin, who takes on El Fantasmo, who will have Hikuleo and Chris Bay with him. There you go. How is this one going to play out? Well, Hikuleo and Chris Bay are going to do a lot of stuff on the outsides. And somehow, even though Trey Miguel's really good, they're really building Steve Macklin, I just have this weird feeling that because of the outside interference, El Fantasmo is going to win the X Division title. So I'll take El Fantasmo. Rich Swann versus Brian Myers versus Moose versus W. Morrissey. Chris Sabin, Raj Singh, Ace Austin, Laredo Kid, Madman Fulton, Matthew Raywalt, and nine other probably very random people are going to be in the Call Your Shot Gauntlet match. The winner receives a trophy and a contract they can invoke anytime within a year, within 1 year, for a championship match of their choosing. You would think Morrissey, with the way they're building him up, but with him being number 20, you got to think of people like Moose. Honestly, it's probably going to be Moose or Morrissey. They had some of the girls in the other one, so I don't know. If it's Jordan Grace or somebody else, that makes a lot of sense too. But I'm going to go Morrissey with the fallback of Moose. I think Moose could screw over Morrissey at the end and end up winning. It just depends on who it comes down to, because we know the last person is Morrissey. It depends on who he is matched up with. But Moose Morrissey, I think, would be a really good way to end that. And like I said, give me Moose. Morrissey could. No, you better yet. Give me Morrissey. Moose is a fallback. Deonna Purrazzo is going to defend her championship against Mickie James for the Impact Knockout Championship. Somebody's got to end Purrazzo's reign. I don't know that Mickie James would be the one I would want to do. She is a big-time veteran, but I think you can build up some other people. And whoever beats Deonna will be an instant star. So I think you take your time and you build up somebody. I don't think it's Mickey. Give me Deonna for the win. And that leaves us your main event, where Christian Cage is defending the Impact World Championship against Josh Alexander. Josh Alexander doing the Plan C, recash in the X Division Championship at Bound for Glory for a world title shot. The way they built Josh Alexander over the years, being him and Ethan Page were the North. They were a great tag team, won championships there. He won the X Division. He is an orthodox X Division guy. Most people think the X Division is just like a cruiserweight belt. You flip and fly. Josh shows you can just wrestle, which is the direction they've went before with the X Division, but they didn't build them quite like this. Christian versus Josh is a really, really good matchup. In fact, I would go as far to say Josh Alexander probably will win this match, and then Christian can either stick around Impact or he can go back to AEW. I mean, he can do a good handful of things. Like I said, maybe he sticks around for a rematch and then takes off again, or sticks or goes back. Maybe Christian will go do some things over there again. So give me Josh Alexander to win the Impact World Championship. Two big pay-per-views. That one on Saturday, I believe. Bound for Glory. You guys know how to order pay-per-views by now. So, that takes us to... Let's do Ring of Honor, and then we'll do the AEWs before we get into talking UFC and Bellator. Ring of Honor, Taylor Rust and Alex Zane, who was also on Impact Wrestling this week. Good for him. Took on the Briscoes. The Briscoes took them to the limit and then won. That was a pretty good match. You kind of knew that because Alex Zane and Taylor Rust aren't a normal team. But at the same time, the Briscoes are building up. I would like to see them back in the title picture very soon. Violence Unlimited took on the random group of Danhausen, PCO, Sledge, and Demonic Flamita. Well, they end up getting the win over Sledge there. Violence Unlimited, they're a really, really good faction. I like the three main factions they have in Ring of Honor. And Violence Unlimited is the one that was kind of sitting lowest on the poll. So good to see them get a solid win there. And in between those two matches, your women's champion, Roxy, come out. And then she was joined by Mandy Leon and Angelina Love. And then Miranda Elise, Willow, Trish Adora, and Allison Kay. All the people from the tournament they just had. Or most of the people. And then Maria Kanellis Bennett come out. Always a lovely highlight of the show because she heads up the women's division over there. She says there's going to be a couple triple threat matches between the six women featured in the ring there. And the winner of those matches will be in a triple threat versus Roxy at the next pay-per-view, which I believe is early December for them. Don't remember which one it is, but I think early December. So you got 5 or 6 weeks before that one. Gives them plenty of time to do this. Ring of Honor starting to really build up and do some good things. I'm glad they are putting together the things they are putting together. They are really entertaining if you just like straight-up wrestling action. There's stories to it, sure. They've got some incredible talent. And you should check out Ring of Honor. AEW, let's start with Rampage. It was on first. The new NHL package is making it to where AEW Dynamite is going to be on random days sometimes. It was on Saturday this time. Rampage came on Friday. CM Punk took on Matt Sydal. This was really good. I can't remember if they ever faced in WWE. I don't. They probably did. But this was really good. And for somebody like Punk, who is you know, making his second run through pro wrestling, enjoying it, getting some cool matchups, somebody like Matt Sydal will really get your conditioning up because he will run you to death. And definitely the pace was a lot faster than most things Punk has done recently. Punk gets the win. He thanked Matt Sydal for it. It's a good match. Good match to kick off Rampage. Ruby Soho took on the Bunny. Of course, she beat the Bunny. Ruby is really good. The Bunny's solid, but she's really good. The story behind this one was Penelope Ford came out, took out some knuckle dusters, brass knuckles, whatever you want to call them, and dusted the chin of Ruby Soho, which will lead to, you know, Soho and somebody versus the Bunny and Penelope Ford. It's just what's going to happen. Jericho, Hager, and Sammy Guevara took on Junior Dos Santos from American Top Team. Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. Of course, the Dan Lambert crew was out there as well. They had a lot to do with this. But in the end, it was Scorpio Sky with the pinfall over Jericho. I heard a rumor that Jericho is about to take a little bit of time away. I don't know if it's Fozzy-related or if he's just going to dial it back a little bit. You know, he's been wrestling for like 30-plus years or more. But, you know, overall, solid Rampage. Rampage usually has three fantastic matches. These were really good. It led us to regular AEW Dynamite, which took place on Saturday. CM Punk come out to do some commentary work. Malakai Black took on Dante Martin. Really good match. I know I'm saying this a lot, but Malakai Black is a fantastic performer, and Dante Martin is in the absence of his brother, who is still coming off the injury list, Dante has put on some spectacular matches as a solo artist, and it just proves his worth and how good he really is and how talented he is. Of course, Malakai Black, who seemed a little dusted up at the end of it, his final kick kind of came out of nowhere, didn't quite look as crisp as normal, but ultimately he gets the win. So if he did get dinged up, they can work on that when he got to the back. The Inner Circle and the Lambert crew kind of went at it, speaking here and there again. I don't know if it sets up anything at all. Jericho has some pretty funny lines towards Paige VanZant. Here's my thing. As much as I like having these mixed martial arts professionals show up in wrestling rings and do some stuff here and there. Look, Junior Dos Santos did a pretty solid job. He looked okay. He looked like somebody who had never had a wrestling match before, but he looked like somebody who had actually practiced what he was going to do and actually put in the time. So I didn't have a problem with his effort whatsoever. But in this case, the American Top Team guys and gals, they don't know how to quite handle themselves in a pro wrestling ring. They just keep act more like they're going to be in a bar fight. And that's the way it's coming across. They're constantly like, oh, you think you're bad, let's fight. Oh, let's fight, let's fight. Oh, you want to do something, I'm going to get in your face. It's a wrestling ring. You got to play it up a little bit. Got to work on that if you're going to be on TV a lot. In a weird match that I'm not sure what has to do with anything, the Lucha Brothers defended their AAA in Mexico, AAA tag team titles against apparently some friends of Andrade El Idolo called Las Superranas, otherwise known as the Super Frogs. They turn out to be FTR. They turn out to cheat quite a bit, and they are the new AAA Tag Team Champions. This feud's not going to be over. FTR versus the Lucha Brothers is A+ every time you draw it up. Wheeler Yuta took on John Moxley. It was an absolute squash. I think it lasted about 3.5 minutes. It took John Moxley longer to walk to the ring, and he was pretty focused. It looked like he had a plane to catch. Maybe he does. Maybe he's going out to Japan for a little while for some of his New Japan bookings. I don't know. But he walked down there, walked through the guardrail, walked into the ring, dropped Yuta a couple times, and Yuta looked a little banged up by the end of it, but got his win, walked back out of the arena. I said, I have this weird feeling he had somewhere to go. Which, outside of just the appearance factor, kind of defeats the purpose of having that match. The Young Bucks and Adam Cole, otherwise known as Super Click, took on Evil Uno, Alex Reynolds, and John Silver of Dark Order. They seem to be back functioning again. And they did a really good job, and I thought they were going to pull this one off. And then Adam Cole and the Young Bucks super kicked everybody. They did the Panama Sunrise. They did the double knees. They did the Shining Wizard to the back of the head. Adam Cole over Alex Reynolds in this one. Jungle Boy came out and wanted to take on Adam Cole and went straight at him. Once again, sign me up if these two are going to continue to go at it. Jungle Boy, the up-and-comer, versus the big-time indie vet in Adam Cole. it could potentially be a headliner. They're doing this weird angle where Arn Anderson's trying to kind of get Cody to be more respectful or something. I don't know, but it was Cody, it was Arn, it was the Nightmare Academy, and Cody kind of got kicked around like they were trying to teach him something. I'm kind of curious to see where this goes. I think Cody eventually turns heel, as he should. MJF come out running his mouth about Darby Allin. Even Wardlow come down. They tried to count Darby Allin out of a match he was not booked for. And then Sting appeared. And took out Wardlow a little bit before MJF got out of there. That'll lead to you know, some stuff there. But MJF and Darby obviously have a match coming up, I believe, next week. But, I mean, you got Sting and Wardlow. You could do some tag things. There's some good angles. Having Sting involved definitely is adding a lot to the AEW roster and television. We had Kiera Hogan. Good to see her back on TV versus Penelope Ford. Penelope Ford wins that one. The Bunny was down there. They had a little bit of help. Ruby Soho showed herself as well. Soho and Hogan. Nah, I don't really like that pairing. So I think it was just unrelated. Penelope Ford actually got a win over Kiera Hogan. And that just propels them into the stuff with Ruby Soho. Hangman came out. Now that he's back, he took some time away. Now that he's back, he's got his contendership back in place. Be fun to see if we get him versus Omega finally, or if somebody takes out Omega and then he takes out them. I think he's going to be world champ sooner rather than later, maybe by the end of the year. And then the main event. Match we've been wanting to happen for a while. Bryan Danielson took on Bobby Fish. I'm a big Bobby Fish fan. I like Bryan too. These two put on a clinic as far as holds and different things here and there. Just it's showing how versatile they both are, especially Bobby Fish with his strikes and his kicks. And Bryan Danielson building up to probably eventually take on Omega. Again, I definitely could see that match happening, but Danielson gets the win here. Moving forward, he needed the momentum. So we'll see what he does after this. Moves us to UFC. Let's go UFC Fight Night. UFC Fight Night. This one was Ladd and Rodriguez, was it not? Right? Producer shaking her head. Do they know? Yeah. Let's talk about the main card. Nate Landwehr over Ludovic Klein by submission. That was pretty good. Pretty decent, I guess. Manon Farreau over Mayra Buena Silva. I think I picked Buena Silva in that one. Unanimous decision. Manon did enough to win for sure. The Ageless Wonder, Jim Miller with the knockout, I believe in it. Yep, 14 seconds into the second round over Eric Gonzalez. Jim Miller lives another day, lives to see another victory. And then another Ageless Wonder, Andre Arlovsky with a unanimous decision over Carlos Felipe. Arlovsky has looked pretty good here recently. He has reinvented himself possibly a third time. And in the heavyweight division, I mean, he's kind of dangling right down there, probably around the top 10. At some point, he may work himself back up. And then I told you guys as well to take Norma Dumont. She won by unanimous decision over Aspen Ladd. The most controversial thing is everybody got up in arms. Not everybody. Most people got up in arms about one of Aspen Ladd's coaches and how he was yelling at her and things like that, and kind of, they thought, being disrespectful in and during the fight. I'm going to throw this out there. It looked to me like he was trying to motivate her, because everything he had told her to that point, she was not following the advice. She was continuing to get in the rut she was, and Norma was beating her. And by the time she started to come alive in this fight, it was a little too late. Norma ends up getting the victory by unanimous decision. And I don't see much wrong with what was going on, because that's between the coach and Aspen. If they get to the back, I mean, he even made a public apology. He didn't need to. You can make a private one to her if it's needed, and you move on. And if she don't like it, she get rid of him and get another coach. How many people that are listening out there have been yelled at by a coach or a parent to do better or to have a different behavior or a different outcome? You know? It is what it is, folks. Coming up this week, okay, let's see. Here are the main event matches. Main event matches for Fight Night this weekend, UFC Paulo Costa versus Marvin Vettori. We will get to that in a minute. In the welterweight division, we've got Dwight Grant taking on Francisco Trinaldo. I'm gonna take Trinaldo in that one. I think you should too. I feel like his ground game is gonna be a little better than Dwight's, and if it goes to the ground, I think Francisco's gonna win it. Alex Caceres is gonna take on Sungwoo Choi out of the featherweight division. I will once again take the favorite in Sungwoo Choi. Caceres could win. He could win this. This is actually a pretty close fight. I just feel like Choi, with his strikes, is going to get a lot more accomplished. In the women's bantamweight division, Jessica Rose Clark is going to take on Jocelyn Edwards. Looks like Jessica Rose Clark is the slight favorite. I'm going to take the favorite again. I like all three favorites in this one. It's going to move us to the co-main event. In the lightweight division, Ricky Glenn is taking on Grant Dawson. Grant Dawson's the bigger favorite. I think I'm going to go with that here. I'm going to go favorite there. And then finally, Paulo Costa against Marvin Vettori. Man, Costa has really been doing some stuff really good. I'm a big Marvin Vettori fan. He is the slight favorite. But this is one I'm going to go against the favorite. I'm going to say Paulo Costa is going to win that event. Of course, this is going to be Saturday night. Looks like everything is on ESPN Plus. Bellator 268. I'm just going to go through the main card. Henry Corrales had a big win over Vladislav Parabchenko by decision. Missed that pick. Brent Primus got the decision win over Benson Henderson, whose wife also fought earlier in the card. I believe she got the win. But Benson looked pretty good, but I still say I think he is on the other side of his peak. And he's still got some solid fights in there. It's not like he should hang it up. No, he should keep fighting if he wants to. But Brent Primus definitely earned that decision victory with that one. In the lightweight Grand Prix, Corey Anderson took out Ryan Bader in 51 seconds. He just caught Bader with a pretty good shot, was able to follow it up. The referee could have stopped it a lot of times before this. He was trying to give Bader the opportunity, the benefit of the doubt, and Bader just, everything he tried, Corey Anderson was on top of. So that was the end of that one. And they're going to meet Vadim Nemkov, the champ who took out Julius Anglicus submission in round number four. And Glickus looked good. He made it almost through four rounds with the champ when he was the alternate for this tournament. So it just shows you how stacked the lightweight division is. My guess is Bader is going to go back, and he's the heavyweight champ. There is an interim champ. I believe they will unify those belts very, very soon. And Nemkov will take on Corey Anderson in a couple months, and I will have a prediction at that time about that, because a lot of things can change between here and now, but I will tell you right now, as good as Nemkov is, I'm kind of leaning Anderson at the moment. But, like I said, it's what it is. That leads us to, for once, Bellator is going to go back-to-back again, because Bellator 269 coming to you from Moscow, Russia. That should tell you a lot about what's going on with this one. Here's the main card. In the middleweight division, you get Anatoly Tokov is taking on Sharif Davletmuradov. Take Anatoly in this one. Cool thing about this card is it is what the UFC tried to do a couple weeks back, but pulled out of being in England, so they just had a lot of English fighters. Well, there are a lot of Russian and Ukrainian and Italian fighters that are going at it in this card. But take Anatoly over Sharif. You've got Usman Nurmagomedov is taking on Patrick Patila. Take Usman Nurmagomedov. Vitaly Menikov is taking on Saeed Suma in the heavyweight division. That's a hard one. Take Saeed Suma over Menikov. I don't know. Just a complete blind guess there. And then in the main event, the whole reason why this event is happening, Fedor Emelianenko is taking on Tim Johnson. This is a hard one. Tim Johnson has the knockout power and the skill to take on Fedor, who has faded in recent years a little bit from what he was. But hey, you get older. Things happen. But Fedor making his big return to Moscow, he does not want to get embarrassed. So if he thought he'd get embarrassed, he probably wouldn't have took this fight. Who do I think is going to win? Give me the home dog because it's the better story. Give me Fedor Emelianenko to beat Tim Johnson this weekend. And remember, just like I said, that's going to do it for us this week. Shout out to all you amazing people who make this fun to do each and every week. However, remember, this Thursday's Crown Jewel at noon. Bound for Glory is Saturday, probably around 8. You have UFC Fight Night this Saturday. You have Bellator 269 this Saturday as well. So much going on. Thanks for tuning in. This is another great edition of Strong Style and Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you guys next week. Go watch fighting. Deuces, gooses.